All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Acts, chapter 11. Acts, chapter 11. Last week, if you were here, you might recall that we talked about the command of ascending Savior, and we looked at Matthew, chapter 28. Over the next now 9 more weeks, we're going to be considering this concept of a God who sends, a church that goes. We are a sending church, and we're going to try to explore, what does that mean? What does that look like? Today, we're in Acts chapter 11, and we're going to consider the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 11. On November the 15th, 1840, a group of 18 people gathered for worship, and they founded what was then called the Shiloh Baptist Church. And a few years later, that church changed its name from Shiloh Baptist Church to First Baptist Church of Moberly. And over the last 184 years, FBC Moberly has proven herself again and again to be a kingdom-minded sending church. And by way of reminder, to be a kingdom-minded church means that we are not concerned about what's best for us. It means that we are not concerned about what's convenient for us. Our concern is what our King is asking us to do, what our King requires of us in relation to His kingdom. To be a kingdom-minded church means that we don't see ourselves collectively as members of First Baptist Church, not primarily. No, we are missionaries for the Lord Jesus Christ to share the good news about who Jesus is and what Jesus did wherever we go. To be a sending church means that we sacrifice our resources, that we sacrifice our people, that we sacrifice and send whatever the Lord asks of us to send wherever He is asking us to go. And at FBC Moberly, we have historically been a kingdom-minded sending church. In 1890, we planted the Emmanuel Baptist Church that meets on that side of town. Is that the north side of town? In 1905, we began a Sunday school class on that side of town, which is the other side of town. It took 10 years for that Sunday school class to become a church, and now they call themselves Carpenter Street Baptist Church. We have sent pastors to Mexico long before Casas por Cristo to print and to share missionary tracts with the people of Mexico. We have sent mission teams around the world from places like, most recently, Acuna and Juarez, to places like Belarus and beyond. We've trained members on how to share their faith, on how to tell people about who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and why it matters. We've trained our members on how to disciple others, on how to live out their faith. We have historically been a kingdom-minded sending church. But understand this, all of that, or let me just rephrase that, none of that is about us. We don't take glory in that. It's not about us or what we have done or what we will do. But rather, to be a kingdom-minded sending church means that we are primarily concerned about God. And so we give glory to God for all the ways that He has used this church over the past 184 years. Amen. In 1840, a sending church was founded, which would eventually become Moberly First Baptist Church. In 2025, that sending church is about to repeat her history. She walks into the Rennick community and plants another sending church that will be known as the Rennick Community Church. And understand this, Rennick Community Church will be a kingdom-minded sending church. Today, we are looking at the very first church plant in the New Testament, the church at Antioch. And what I want to show you today are 3 characteristics of a sending church. What does a sending church look like? What are the kinds of things that they do? Now, to be sure, there's a lot more than 3. But in keeping with the context of the passage, I want you to see 3 clear characteristics of a sending church from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. With your Bibles in hand, let me ask you to stand as we honor the public reading of God's Word from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. If you don't have a Bible, the letters are in white on the screen behind me. And you should be able to see it there. Reading from the Christian Standard Bible, Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19, the Bible says this: "Now those who had been scattered as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen made their way as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. News about them reached the church in Jerusalem, and when they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch, and when he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. Verse 24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And large numbers of people were added to the Lord. And then he went to Tarsus to search for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year they met with the church and taught large numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that today, as we examine this passage from Acts, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would share with us whatever it is you have for us. I pray, Father, you would use my words to bring you glory. We pray for changed lives this morning. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they repent of their sin and trust in you. I pray, Father, if there are those in the room who need to commit to do something else, I pray that you would bring them to that. Help them, Father, to commit to you, to surrender to you. And Father, we pray that as a result of today, from our worship to our giving to the word that is proclaimed, we pray you are honored and glorified and made big. Do your work here this morning, we beg, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Three characteristics of ascending church. First, ascending church is faithful to proclaim the good news of the Lord. The story of the church at Antioch actually begins back in Acts chapter 7 and 8. If you would flip back just a few pages in your Bible to Acts chapter 8. And I want you to see this. This is where Stephen was martyred for his faith. Do you remember that story? When Stephen was stoned to death, all because of what he said and what he believed about Jesus. After that killing of Stephen, the Bible says a great persecution broke out. And look in your Bibles, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Let me just read it to you, starting about halfway through verse 1. It says, on that day, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and mourned deeply over him. Saul, however, was ravaging the church. He would enter house after house and drag off men and women and put them in prison. So those who were scattered went on their way preaching the word. Remember this, these men, these women, these families were pushed out of Jerusalem and scattered throughout the land. They were persecuted because of what they believed about Jesus and what they said about Jesus. The Bible says that Saul ravaged the church like an animal, that he went into homes and dragged people out of their homes and threw them into prison, all because of what they said about Jesus. And then we come to Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Look in your Bibles, flip over. Three chapters later, Acts 11, verse 19. Now those who had been scattered as a result of what? What does your Bible say? The persecution that started because of Stephen. Those who had been scattered because of their faith in Christ. Those who had been scattered as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen made their way as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews. Those who had been scattered had been forced out of their homes, left their jobs, left their homes, left everything behind because they couldn't stay there anymore. All because of what they believed and shared about Jesus. And then we get to Acts chapter 11, verse 19. And what does the Bible say they were doing? My Bible says they were speaking the word about Jesus. They were telling people about Jesus, which is the same thing that got them kicked out of Jerusalem. Do you see that? Do you know how incredible that is? Like here in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, what we see are some kingdom-minded disciples. They were not worried. They were not worried about what was best for them or what was convenient for them. They were not concerned about themselves. Instead, what did they do? What their king had told them to do. They told anybody who would listen about Jesus, which is exactly what the Lord told them to do in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And look in your Bibles, Acts 11, verse 20. It says, there were some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also. And what's the word? What's the next word there that you see? They were proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus. In verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. To God be the glory. Can you see how spectacular that is? Kicked out of Jerusalem for proclaiming the good news about Jesus, and now they find themselves 300 miles away. For context, Omaha is about 300 miles away from Moberly. They find themselves 300 miles from home in a wicked city named Antioch, filled with 500,000 people. And what do? They told people about Jesus and who he was and what he had done. They proclaimed the good news. And what was that good news that they proclaimed? That Jesus is Lord. That he lived a sinless life and died a sinner's death. And after he was buried for 3 days, he rose from the dead, resurrected from the grave. And now he stands at the right hand of the Father. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has sent his people around the world from Jerusalem to Antioch, from Moberly to Rennick. He has sent his people around the world to do what? To share the good news about who he is and what he has done. The Lord scattered the people in the book of Acts. Let me share with you, the Lord is going to do the same with us. He's going to send us out. He's going to send us to places. And wherever you go, wherever you are first and foremost an ambassador to the King. So hear me, when you go to the restaurant today after church, you are first and foremost an ambassador for the King. Don't be a jerk to the waitress. You're an ambassador to the King. When you go to work tomorrow, you are first and foremost an ambassador of the King. When you go to school tomorrow, you are first and foremost an ambassador of Jesus, our King. And our job, our God-given job, is to proclaim the good news of who Jesus is, both in word and in work, wherever we are. So as a church, together, all of us together, we're going to do the King's work in Rennick. On April the 6th, when we begin to have worship services in Rennick, we're going to be doing the Lord's work and what the Lord has called us to do. Now, most of you in the room, most of you are going to find yourselves right here on April the 6th. You're going to be on the sending team, meaning that you're going to pray and you're going to support and you're going to send resources to Rennick. But some of you will be on the sent team, meaning that you will be sent to Rennick. You will be involved in Rennick. You will put down your roots in Rennick. You will serve and you will share in Rennick. And collectively, all of us together, we will be a sending church for the Rennick replant. Now listen, don't minimize if you say, well, all I can do is pray, Brian. That's all I can do. Don't tell me that's all you can do, because prayer is huge. Don't minimize the act of prayer. We need every single person in this room to pray for the Lord's will and work to be done in Rennick. We need you to pray for those of us who are going into Rennick, that we would be faithful to proclaim the good news to anyone who will listen. A sending church is faithful to proclaim the good news of the Lord. Secondly, a sending church is faithful to remain devoted to the Lord. So as the work continued in Antioch, as the people in Antioch continued to share the good news about who Jesus is and what Jesus did and why it mattered, as they began to proclaim the good news, the word began to spread. By the way, that'll happen. Just challenge you a bit. A church does not need an aggressive marketing campaign when the church is doing the work that God has called them to do. Why? Because the word will spread. God will make sure of that. That's what happened in Antioch. The word had spread about Antioch 300 miles away to Jerusalem. And look what happens next. Look in your Bibles. Verse 22. The Bible says, news about them reached the church in Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. And when he arrived, he saw the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And large numbers of people were added to the Lord. What did the church in Jerusalem do when they heard about the work of the Lord 300 miles away in Antioch? Well, the Bible says they sent a man named Barnabas, the great encourager. They sent Barnabas to Antioch to check on the work of the Lord. And I want you to notice what Barnabas does when he gets there. He does three things. He saw the grace of God. He celebrated the work of God. And he encouraged the people of God. Look in your Bible, verse 23. When he arrived, what does your Bible say? He saw what? The grace of God. Barnabas saw the grace of God. And you say, what does that mean? What does it mean that he saw the grace of God? Well, in this context, the grace of God is the visible activity of God's work in the lives of undeserving people. Spoiler alert, we are all undeserving people. So when God shows up and shows off in your life, that's a picture of God's grace at work in your life. Barnabas arrived in Antioch and he saw the grace of God. And what did he do next? He celebrated the work of God. My translation says that he arrived, saw the grace of God, and three words, he was glad. You know what that means in First Baptist Church Moberly terms? It means that when Barnabas got into Antioch, he saw the work that God was doing, the grace of God, and in Brian Veal fashion, he said, to God be the glory, great things he has done. He celebrated the work of God in Antioch. He saw the grace of God, celebrated the work of God, and lastly, he encouraged the people of God. Look at verse 23 again in its entirety. When he arrived, he saw the grace of God. He was glad, and he encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. Hey, can I remind you, I don't need you to encourage me to do things that are easy. Today, the Chiefs are going to play the Bills. And my prediction is Chiefs 313, Bills 7. I'm only giving them 7 because I kind of like Josh Allen. That's my prediction. Amen? Amen. To God be the glory. Listen, here's what I don't need. I don't need anyone to remind me that the Chiefs are playing today because I know that. I don't need anyone to remind me to turn the TV on at 5:30. Because I know that. That's easy. I want to do that. I want to watch the Chiefs play. But let's say for a minute that we get caught in one of these weather patterns again. And let's say it happens to snow this Friday 9 inches. If that happens, I'm going to need somebody to encourage me. You're going to need to encourage me to shovel my driveway because I don't want to do that. That's hard work. Here's my point. We don't need anyone to encourage us to do easy things. We do need someone to encourage us to do difficult things. And let me share this with you. Following Jesus is hard. Like being faithful to the Lord is challenging work. Staying devoted to the King in the face of disappointment and discouragement and even persecution, that is hard to do. And you say, why is that so hard? Because the King often asks us to do things that we don't think we can do. And the King often asks us to do things that we don't really want to do. And so Barnabas shows up in Antioch and he saw the grace of God and he was glad. And the Bible says he encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts and you say, what does that mean? How do we do that? How do we remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts? Here's two steps. Are you ready? Number one, if you want to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts, step one, read your Bible. If you want to remain true to the Lord with a devoted heart, step two, do what it says. That's it. Read your Bible and do what it says. Church family, let me be a Barnabas in your life today and encourage you to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. Read your Bible and do what it says. It's going to be hard. No matter what the Lord calls you to do, it's going to be challenging. This life is hard. Stay the course. Remain true to the Lord and do so with devoted hearts. Ascending Church is faithful to proclaim the good news of the Lord. It's faithful to remain devoted to the Lord. And lastly, Ascending Church is faithful to make disciples for the Lord. Barnabas had seen the work of the Lord in Antioch. And Barnabas, being a wise man, knew that he needed some help. The need was too great. The task was too daunting. And the work was too difficult. He needed some help. And so what does he do? He goes in search of a man named Saul. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, then he went to Tarsus to search for Saul. By the way, that Greek word for search, it indicates that this was a really hard search. Like, Saul wasn't easy to find. In our vernacular, we would say finding Saul was like finding a needle in a haystack. He had to work hard to find Saul. Now, that name should sound familiar to you. I want to remind you of something very quickly. Flip back again to Acts chapter 8. Let me hear your Bibles turn. Flip back to Acts chapter 8. And look in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. We read this earlier about the reasons why the people of God were scattered into Antioch. And look at Acts chapter 8, verse 1. That says Saul agreed with putting him being Stephen, Saul agreed with putting him to death. And on that day, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. Question, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, what was the name of the man who agreed with the plan and effectively gave the approval for the martyr and the murder of Stephen? What was his name?
Saul.
Look at verse 3. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Saul, however, was ravaging the church. That's an animal term. Think of a wild animal just destroying its prey. Saul was ravaging the church. He would enter house after house, drag off men and women, and put them in prison. Question, according to verse 3, what was the name of the man who ravaged the church, entering houses, and put them in prison? And why did Saul persecute Christians? Because of what they believed and shared about Jesus. The church members in Antioch found themselves in Antioch because a man named Saul was ravaging the church in Jerusalem. Do you see that? They found themselves 300 miles away. And look at how the Lord brings this full circle. Flip back in your Bibles. Acts chapter 11, verse 25. Acts 11, 25. Then he being Barnabas, went to Tarsus to search for who? What? And when he found him, verse 26 says, he brought him to Antioch. Man, I want to know what that was like. When I get to that, like, what a business meeting that was, right? I mean, can you imagine? Here is Barnabas. And he walks into the room, and with him is a man named Saul. And he's looking into the eyes of the people whom he persecuted. And he's looking into the eyes of the families who had to leave Jerusalem because he hated Jesus. And he hated them. And he drove them out. What was that like? The Bible doesn't tell us, But when I get to heaven, I want to find out. I've told you before, I hope there's a Netflix in heaven and we can just stream the stories of the Bible, because I want to see what that was like when he walked into the church at Antioch and everyone was there. The same people that he forced out of Jerusalem found themselves in Antioch, and there's the man who did it. I would guess the conversation went something like this. I would guess Saul stands before the church and says something like this: "Guys, I am so sorry. I ravaged the church. I was an animal. I cannot believe the monster that I was, the chief of all sinners. I was lost. But now I am found. To God be the glory." Do you see how awesome that is? The man who pushed them out of Jerusalem was now, according to verse 26, brought into Antioch. And look in your Bibles. What did he do when he got there? "For a whole year, they," being Barnabas and Saul, "met with the church and taught large numbers." You know what that means? They made disciples. The man who forced them out was now being used by God to help them follow Jesus. The man who persecuted the church was now radically saved by the Lord and was now being used by the Lord to make disciples for the Lord and would one day have to endure great persecution himself. The very one who forced them out was being used by God to bring them closer to God. And you think God can't use you? The life of Saul shows us clear evidence that God can use anybody. When God changes your life and saves you, he can use you for his glory and his purpose and his good and your good. Man, what a story that is here. What a testimony of the grace and goodness of God. And what a testimony of the grace and goodness and forgiveness of the church at Antioch, who could forgive Saul and then be led by him. That church in Antioch, they were being taught the word for a full year. They were being made disciples. And the Bible says they were first called Christians in Antioch. Ascending Church is faithful to proclaim the good news, to remain devoted to the Lord, and to make disciples for the Lord. Listen, here's what I want you to grasp. This whole idea of a sending church is nothing new. It's not something that we invented. It's too good for us to invent. It's not the invention of man. This isn't our idea. This is the Lord's idea. You, the church, is God's plan for reaching the lost. There's only one plan. The church is God's plan for planting other churches. And you are the church. Do you see that? You are God's plan for reaching the lost. You are God's plan to plant new churches. I can't say it better than Warren Wiersbe. Brent Bradshaw actually shared this with me earlier this week. It's from a little snippet from one of his commentaries in Colossians 1. Let me just read it to you. Warren Wiersbe writes this. He says, God does not always need an apostle or a full-time Christian worker to get a ministry established. Nor does he need elaborate buildings and extensive organization. Here in Colossians 1, we see two laymen who were used of God to start ministries in at least three cities. And listen to this. Wiersbe writes, "It is God's plan for the Christians in large urban areas like Ephesus to reach out into smaller towns and share the gospel." Is your church, Wiersbe asks, is your church helping to evangelize small town mission fields? And to God be the glory, we can say yes. Because he is calling us collectively to take the gospel into a village in Rennick. The population of Rennick can fit in this room. And he is asking us to take the gospel there. Why? Because there are lost people there who need Jesus. Because there's a church building there that stands as a tombstone to the community. And praise God, he's able to bring life into dead things. On Sunday, April the 6th, that empty building will be filled with God's people singing praises to Him, giving glory to Him, being made disciples for Him. And hear me when I say this. He wants to use you to be a part of it. And you say, I don't know, I'm not called to go to Renick. And I affirm that for 95% of you, you are not called to go to Renick. You're not called to set down roots in Renick. But you are called to send us to Renick. There's only about 5% of us who are called to go into Renick. The remaining 95% will send into Renick. They will pray for Renick. They will support the church in Renick. And by the way, you're already doing that. This week, a group of men gathered together to paint the sanctuary. Not quite done yet. We'll be done tomorrow. I say we. I didn't do anything. And I still managed to hurt myself. You see that little scratch right there? Didn't do anything. Still got hurt. I don't know how that happens. We got a group of men who are painting the building with paint that was purchased by one of you. To God be the glory for a sending church. We have a prayer team already committed, 30 or 40 people who get weekly emails from me praying for the work in Renick. We need more prayer warriors. We need to buy tables for Renick. I need some help picking those up. We need to clean out the fellowship hall in Renick. I need your help to clean that up this Thursday at 2:00. If you want to come help, let me know. This is the work of Ascending Church. Ascending Church works to send people and resources wherever God calls, to support the work of the Lord wherever God calls. And for what purpose? To the glory of God. My friends, I can't share this with you enough. The task ahead of us is Herculean. Like it is huge. And we need every single person involved, be it through prayer, through help, through giving, or through going. And praise be to God that He has called us, First Baptist Church Mobley, to go all in for the sake of the gospel and the glory of God in Renick. And I can't wait to see what He does in Renick. And I won't be around 184 years from now to hear the story in Renick, but I hope that one day, 184 years from now, if the Lord doesn't return, I hope the church in Renick has grown so much. And I hope that they stand before, their pastor stands before the church and says, 184 years ago, Ascending Church planted Renick Community Church. And now we're going to do the same thing. We're going to go out and plant another church. We're going to do what we've always done. I hope that happens. We're going to do all we can for the glory of God. And I can't wait to see what He does through you for His glory. Here's the thing. Some of you today, right now, some of you need to commit. And it may have nothing to do with Renick, by the way. The Lord may be asking you to commit to do something completely, entirely different. Something totally unrelated to Renick. Do it. Commit to the Lord. Surrender to the Lord. Do whatever He's asking you to do. Because I promise you, it is so good and so much fun when you say yes to God. Is it scary? Absolutely. Is it hard? 100%. Is it worth it? Without a doubt. Do it. Whatever the Lord's asking you to do, commit. For some of you, you need to be saved. Some of you don't know who Jesus is. He is the Lord, the Messiah, the King of Kings, who died on a cross, died a sinner's death. The sinless Son of God died a sinner's death for you. He was buried for 3 days and then rose from the dead. And when He did, He defeated death for us. And if we will repent of our sins and trust in the Lord, the Bible says we will be saved. And who knows, there might be a Saul sitting in the room right now. Maybe you haven't ravaged the church, but you sure have hated on the church. Maybe you haven't persecuted Christians, but you sure don't like them. And maybe the Lord's going to get a hold of you and save you and use you for His glory. Whatever the Lord is asking you to do, let me encourage you to say yes to the Lord. for the glory of God. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the work you're doing here among us. Thank you for the work you will do in Renick. Give us wisdom. Give us encouragement. Give us what we need to bring you glory. Father, I pray for those in the room who need to surrender to you and commit to you to do whatever it is you're asking them to do. Give them courage and strength to do it today. Father, I pray for those in the room who don't know you as Lord and Savior. Maybe today's a day where you help them to repent of their sins and trust in you. Father, do your work here this morning and we will give you praise and glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's worship.